So Genesis 29, 16 through 29. Now Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was Leah. And yes, that's the way it's pronounced. I'm not just going Star Wars. And the younger one was, well, it's actually Rachel. But I don't want to spit on everyone this morning, so we'll just say Rachel. The younger one was Rachel. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, "I will work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel, your younger daughter, as my wife." "Agreed," Laban replied. "I'd rather give her to you than anyone else. Stay and work with me." Verse 20. So Jacob worked 7 years to pay for Rachel. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Aw. 21. Finally, the time came for him to marry her. "I fulfilled my agreement," Jacob said to Laban. "Now give me my wife so I can sleep with her." So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood and prepared a wedding feast. But that night, when it was dark, Laban took Leah to Jacob. Leah, the older daughter. And he slept with her. Verse 24, Laban had given Leah a servant, Zilpah, to be her maid. 25, when Jacob woke in the morning, it was Leah. "What have you done to me?" Jacob raged at Laban. "I worked 7 years for Rachel. Why have you tricked me?" 26, "It's not our customary to marry off the younger daughter ahead of the firstborn," Laban replied. "But wait until the bridal week is over, then we'll give you Rachel too, provided you promise to work another 7 years for me." So Jacob agreed to work 7 more years, and a week after Jacob had married Leah, Laban gave him Rachel too. 29, and Laban gave Rachel a servant, Bilhah, to be her maid. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to dig into your scripture. Pray you open our hearts. Lord, I pray you speak to us, Lord, as we go through a subject. I pray, Lord, for healing today. Lord, as your words are meant to bring understanding, knowledge, wisdom. But Lord, I pray for healing today. Lord, as we go through a subject, Lord, that you speak to us and you mend our hearts. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going through a series called Overcome. I'd ask you for a number of subjects that we would like to see the Lord speak to us about. And today we're focusing on rejection. There's different terms that were put out there, but I could probably all put it into a story, put it into a word called rejection. Now, as we go through this series of Overcome, we're mainly going to be doing kind of some character studies. Hopefully, each one will be looking at a different character in the Bible and seeing the subject that they've gone through. So we'll spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, which is good because we've been, last number of series have been in the New Testament. So I believe that whatever you're going through, God has a story for you to read. I think he's covered it. I think he's given you truth and information. And so today, we're going to be looking at rejection. But a quick review, a couple of weeks ago, we kind of looked at an overview of how to overcome. What are the things? And each week, we might cover all three of these, and we might add some more, or maybe we'll just use one. But in the first message, we found scriptures that said we overcome evil, we overcome these things that go in our lives, number one, through suffering. And that's just a great one. You know, don't we love to suffer? It's just so great. Number two, prayer. And not simple prayers, but heartfelt, powerful prayers that comes from the point of agony, comes from the point of suffering. Lord, help. And number three, how do we overcome? We use the Word of God as a weapon. Far too often we read it for stories, but inside, this is a powerful word, and God has allowed us to be able to use it as a weapon. And again, every week, maybe there's some more. Maybe there's some different ones, but a lot of times we'll see these three things as we look to overcome. So today we're looking at rejected. Remember elementary? Did you ever have to be picked last on the kickball team? That was hard, right? It's recess, and you want to go out and play, but maybe you didn't even get picked at all. You know, that's a rejection. Ever been rejected by a girlfriend? Dumped? Let go? Asked a girl out? They said no. There's a rejection. Ever been let go by a job? A company? Ever been fired? It's kind of hard. You ever been rejected by a spouse? You ever been rejected by a parent? You ever been rejected by a child? Or you ever felt like you've been rejected by God? Now, on that one, take a breath. He still loves you. I don't think he rejected you. But we go through rejection, and it's typically by people, and it hurts. And sometimes it hurts for a long time until we can bring some form of healing. So today, we're looking at Leah. We'll call her the rejected, the center of this story. But in order to understand this little reading we had, a little bit about Leah, we got to get a little bit more backstory. We got to go back in time. We got to go to the prequels and figure out what happened to get her to this point. Now, we got to go back a little bit to Abraham. Abraham was kind of the father of the Hebrew nation, father of the Jewish nation. And he was considered the promised one because God gave him a promise. He said, Abraham, look at the stars in the sky. Those will be your descendants. Look at the sand on the seashore. They will be your descendants. They will be numerous. But there was a problem. He didn't have any kids. And yet, that was the promise. God says, I'm going to build a nation through you. Yet he had no kids. So there was a promise planted in Abraham. But Abraham also planted things in his own heart, in his own life. And twice we get stories where he's traveling with his wife, Sarah. Now, she's pretty. We'll just say that. She's really, really pretty. And he knows this. It's probably why he chose her somehow. Now, he'd go into this capital, this city, this nation, and as he'd walk in there, he'd say to Sarah, you're really, 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 really pretty. And we walk in there, the city's going to be like, wow, we want her. The king's going to say, I want her. And if they find out I'm your husband, they'll probably just knock me off. They'll probably kill me so that they can have you. And I really don't want to die. Dear God, I don't want to die. So let's just tell them you're my sister, which was true. They were actually half sister and brother, but we'll just skip that part. That's kind of weird. But we'll just say you're my sister. And so they did. And then so they go in and they try to court Sarah in there, and they kind of ignoring Abraham. And then the king finds out that Abraham had deceived the king. And the king was upset, and he kicks him out. Abraham did this twice. Self-preservation. He wanted to take care of himself. And how do you preserve yourself? Many times we do it through deception. And we'll find this seed in the story of rejection over and over and over again. Usually in the story of rejection, someone was trying to protect themselves. Someone was putting themselves as number one. A self-preservation, a deception. Now, eventually, Abraham had a child. He actually had two kids, which makes it kind of complicated because God was waiting and waiting. He wasn't having a kid, so they came up with a plan B and had him have relations with a servant, another woman. God, you're a little slow. Let me help you out. That's a bad plan. Don't do that. Don't plan. Don't help God out. In his timing, he will do things. And so, finally, he has a son. His son's name is Isaac. And we will call Isaac the sacrifice. Because in Genesis chapter 22, we get this story where God says to Abraham, and God is thinking, I'm going to test your faith, Abraham. I want you to take your son of promise, the one that I promised you that is a miracle, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. That's a pretty steep request. But he agreed. And he got up in the morning, and he grabbed his knife, and he grabbed some wood, and he took his son, and they went going, and went to an altar place, went to a mountain. And Isaac is like, God, or Dad, what's going on? Well, we're going to go sacrifice to God. Okay. And they got to the base of the mountain, and he gave them the wood, and Isaac had to carry it himself. And they get to the top, and he says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? We're missing the sacrifice. He says, the Lord will provide. Abraham's being tested. And then it says he built the altar and put on the wood, and he bound his son, and they put his son upon the altar. Can you imagine the realization that is going through Isaac's mind? Tell me about the feeling of rejection. Isaac is now the sacrifice. And he's feeling that he's rejected by his dad. And he's got to be thinking, why in the world would God allow this to happen? What a story. You know, this isn't the main story of our rejection, but this is the history of. This is a trying. This is a trial. God uses your trials. Isaac is going through a trial. God uses your trials for the growth of others. Abraham. Hear that. God can use your trials, the hardships you go through, for the growth of others. Let me say that the opposite way. Maybe it'll make a little more sense. Sometimes your growth comes at the cost of another. God is testing Abraham in his faith. And that means Isaac goes through a trial. Sometimes your growth comes at the cost of another person. And sometimes your sacrifice allows another person to grow. It's how God works. It's hard. It's difficult. Faith does not demand an explanation. Faith rests on a promise. Abraham was resting upon a promise. In his mind, he had to do the calculations. God promised me a son. He gave me a son. There is no way he would take my son, but I will go through with it. And yet, before he struck his son, God said, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And he provided another sacrifice. But there was a trial that went through. And Isaac had every opportunity to be hurt and offended by God and by his father. But he trusted. Because it says later that they walked down the mountain together, as in unity. He had the opportunity to feel this feeling of rejection, and he did not. But again, we need to understand this backstory, what happened before. Eventually, Isaac gets a little bit older, and he's got to get married. I'm going to ask you to put up a little family tree, because this is going to get complicated and, well, it's going to get weird and complicated. So, on the left there, you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is mainly what we're looking at. So, Isaac is getting older, and he needs a spouse. So, Abraham tells one of his servants, I want you to go back to the family sort of thing. I want you to go back and find a spouse for Isaac. So, this servant goes to, it's kind of in the center of the screen there, goes to this man named Laban. Now, Laban had a sister named Rebecca. Okay? Now, Laban is kind of in that lovely family tree. So, Isaac, through this story, he meets Rebecca. So, Rebecca is Laban's sister. And we got to keep that in mind as we go through the story. Again, the backstory. So, Rebecca comes back, she marries Isaac. Isaac has two boys, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is the younger, Esau is the older. Now, the name Jacob means to grasp the heel. As in, when he was being born, he was hanging on. He was hanging on and it to his brother's heel. He wanted to get out first. Jacob means to take. And in some ways, it means to deceive. Huh. There's that word again. Deceive. So, as Jacob and Esau grow older, Jacob is Rebekah's favorite son. That never happens in families, right? And if it does, what does it sow into the family? Interesting. But as Jacob grows older, he needs to get, his father Isaac is getting older, and he wants the blessing of his father. He wants a heritage. He wants whatever his dad has, which might be wealth, might be the inheritance. But that should go, that blessing and inheritance should go to Esau, the older. So Rebecca, again, the mom, and the sister to Laban, she comes up with a scheme. And she says to Jacob, let's deceive your dad. Let's put some fur on your arms so you're hairy like your brother. Let's put on some musky cologne so you smell like your brother. And let's present him one of your brother's like meals, because your dad is blind. Isaac's blind. And let's have him bless you. Rebekah helped Jacob deceive Isaac. And it worked. He stole the birthright, and he stole the blessing with mom's help. So tell me how Isaac feels. His wife and his son deceived him. That seed keeps on growing. He was hurt. You can see Isaac was rejected again, but Isaac knows his experience. He knows what it's like to be rejected by someone he loves, his dad. And yet he knew for that reason his father was being tested by faith. And so we don't get much out of this. Did Jacob blow up and get mad and all this? He was hurt. But maybe he knew inside. He was thinking, God, what's your plan in this? Something has happened that's hurt me. God, what's your plan? So now Jacob, the deceiver, he grows older. And he needs a wife. So Isaac sends him to Laban. Go to your uncle. See if you can find a spouse there. Because that Laban line is such a wonderful family. You know, they're really kind and deceivers. So Jacob goes, and the first person he meets is Rachel. And he falls in love. Love at first sight. Then we get to our story here that we read. And in it we read that Laban, how about that, deceives Jacob. Are you seeing the thread throughout this story? Can you apply it to your life? If you've ever been hurt by someone, was there ever a lie? Was there ever a deception? So Laban, the uncle, the father of Rachel, deceives Jacob. Now, I would not go as far as to say that God encourages. He does not encourage deceptive behavior. But I believe God can utilize deceptive behavior for his purposes. Things that people do to you to hurt you, God can say, you know what? I can use that. I'll turn that around. It's difficult. It's hard. But there's lessons to be learned. And I believe God uses these hurts in our heart to teach us lessons. Now, in our story, when we read about Leah, it described her. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes. Another version says her eyes were dull. Her eyes were dim. It doesn't say Leah was ugly. It just says her eyes were dim. We got medical people here. Ophthalmia. I can pronounce Hebrew words, but I can't pronounce like doctor stuff. It's a condition of the eyes. They might be bloodshot or crusty. I guess it's somewhat common in desert regions. But it's a condition she had. So what would you call this condition? A not typical thing? An imperfection? A defect? You know, sometimes when we have a medical thing, we have something about us, a condition, something that's not normal. We call it whatever we want, and sometimes it's a harsher and harsher term. And because of this, her eyes being dull, she was rejected. And sometimes rejection comes from something beyond your control. There is something about you that maybe isn't normal, and you look at it as a defect. And then you start asking questions. You start coming to conclusions. God, why did you make me like this? The name Leah actually means weary. And I bet you that's how she looked and that's how she was. She was just tired. She was just, I can't go through this every day. This is what I have to deal with. She had to look at her condition and go, it's not fair. And she looks at her sister, who was beautiful, and it said had a lovely figure. And she must have been crushed. Is there anything wrong with you? The way? Me, it's my teeth. Sure, it could be fixed. I got buck teeth. I don't know. That's just the way it is. But there's things that we have, and we feel sometimes rejected. And I'm going to skip way ahead in the story. The screen wouldn't be able to handle this family tree. But the line following from Leah goes to Jesus Christ. She might say, there's something wrong with me. And God says, no, there's something right with you. You're mine. So if that's your rejection, if there's a hurt because of something that is you, a condition, God doesn't look at it as a defect. God says, I can use that. You are perfect. So here we have Jacob marrying Leah and Rachel. Tell me about family dynamics. How do you think that went? Huh? How do you think they're feeling? And besides, think about Leah. Her dad says, come here, Leah. I got a plan. I'm going to sneak you in. We'll put a veil on you, and we'll deceive Jacob. She must have been trapped. Because if she opened her mouth, her dad would have been a fool. Been known as a fool. Or worse. Or she opened her mouth, her dad would have said, no, I didn't. I wouldn't do that. She was rejected. She was hurt. And then it's discovered. And now, 7 days later, her sister is married to her husband. Tell me about the family dynamics. Tell me what's going on. The backbiting, the words, the competition, the struggling for blessings. And what is the blessings in the Christian faith? The blessing in the Christian faith, or in this time, in this history, comes out of, I don't have it up there, but Psalms 127:3. It reminds us that children are a reward. Children are a reward. Remind yourself of that, parents. Children are a reward. And they both want to have kids, so they both want to have time alone with Jacob. And they're fighting over this. And the battle rages on. So let's talk about their kids, because the story starts getting harder and harder. Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved. Ever felt unloved? It says, he enabled her to have children. The blessing of children comes from God. That's what I see there. He enabled her to have children. Again, she could have been focused on her looks, her dull eyes. But you know how it is here in Wisconsin. You know, 33 degrees can be cold, or it can be, oh, it is so warm out there. It all depends upon your perspective. And so, yes, maybe an eye condition, but not being able to bear children, that could even be worse. It's not a very kind statement, but there's always, it could be worse in our lives. And the true blessing is Leah was enabled to have children. What do you focus on? Leah, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. Again, tell me about the competition within the family, between the sisters. 32, so Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, the Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me. She has a son named Reuben. Reuben means see a son. She takes him and she goes to Jacob. And says, Jacob, see, a son. Not only a child, but a son. His firstborn is a male, which is like the best of the best of the best. See, a son. But look at her wording. She named him Reuben, for she said, the Lord has noticed my misery. What's another word for misery? How about suffering? How do you overcome rejection? You suffer. She has been suffering. God noticed that she was unloved, and she says, God will notice my misery. Because of see a son, my husband will now love me. what it appears is that Jacob was fulfilling his duty to his wife with no affection, with no love. Side note challenge. Dads, show affection. Love your wife. Love your kids. Show affection. Don't go through life with the duty of a father. Well, this is what I'm supposed to do. I think what you're supposed to do is love your wife and love your kids. Show some affection. That's for free. That was extra. So she says, now he will notice me. God has heard seen my misery. He has seen my suffering. Did it work? Did Jacob go, oh, I've been blind this whole time? Verse 33. She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. Ooh, two for two. Not bad. She named him Simeon. For she said, the Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son. Did it work? Did the first son all of a sudden change the deceiver's heart, change Jacob's heart? It didn't work. Simeon means one who hears, as in God has heard her misery. Again, what is her misery? It's her suffering. It's her rejection. And it says God has heard it. What does that mean she's doing? She's praying. And is it, oh Lord, if you could, hear my prayer. Let my husband love me. Is that her prayer? Or is it one of those messy, slobbery, tearful, pillows sopping wet cries? It is misery. And yet she knows where to go to. She's praying, God, hear me. How do we overcome? We go through suffering. We pray heartfelt prayers. So, did it work? Verse 34. Then she became pregnant a third time and gave birth to another son. Three for three. Wow. He was named Levi, for she said, surely this time my husband will feel affection for me, since I have given him three sons. Did it work? No. The suffering didn't carry her through it to the completion. The prayers didn't carry her all the way through to completion. Levi means attached, which means now he will be attached to me. Now he will show me affection. She's still going through suffering. She's still praying to God. Did it work? Verse 35. Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. Four for four. She named him Judah. For she said, listen, underline, circle this, think about this. For she said, now I will praise the Lord. And then she stopped having children. The name Judah means praise. She now changed from going through the suffering and the prayers to saying, now I'm choosing to praise. What is she doing? She's using the word as a weapon. I'm going to use these words, and I'm going to declare praise to God, because that man over there doesn't matter as much as I thought. What matters to me is God. And I'm going to choose to use my misery, my circumstances, my rejection, my suffering, all my prayers, and I'm going to choose to say praise. I'm going to praise the Lord. How do you overcome rejection? So did it work? Honestly, at this point, I'd say it doesn't matter. Because seeking God first in your life is what we must do. And giving him praise and honor is what we must do. She had been focused solely on Jacob and not on God. And many times that is where we're at when we've been rejected. We have our eyes on the wrong thing. And she chose to focus on God. Now, from here, we can go through a couple more chapters. It gets messy because Rachel, she quit having kids. And now Rachel brings in her maidservant, says, Jacob, why don't you have some kids with her? That doesn't make anything messy, does it? And then Leah's like, well, I can't have any more kids, so I'll bring you my servant, Jacob, see? And then they start competing about who gets Jacob. And then all of a sudden, Rachel can start having kids, and then Leah can have kids. Oh, it gets messy and messy and messy. But she had learned something, and the question is, did it stick? Did she stay praising God? Did her husband ever love her? What is the end of the story? What's the conclusion of the story? What is the end of rejection? You see, she sought after man's affection, but then she turned to God's affection. And she did it through suffering. She did it through prayer. She did it using the word as a weapon, specifically praise. She chose praise in her rejection. She chose to honor God with her lips when she wanted to just complain. Praise. And this is where I usually throw in, I'll give you a token verse about praise, but there are so many that you should know, read, memorize. So I'm going to hit a few about praise. Psalms 139, 13 through 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Praise him, because he made you. Conditions and all, he formed you. Psalms 103:1. Let all that I am, praise the Lord. With my whole heart, she had changed from maybe honoring God a little bit to, I want to give God my whole heart. That's what we must give, is God our whole heart. I'll praise you with my whole heart. I will praise his holy name. Psalm 71:8. That is why I can never stop praising you. Never, ever. I declare your glory all day long. And then let's get out of Psalms and let's go to the New Testament. Revelations 5:13. What's heaven going to look like? Then I heard every creature in heaven, and on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Pastor, how do I overcome rejection? Praise. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't change my situation. Yes, it does. But you can't see it because possibly your eyes are dim. How do you overcome rejection? That hurt, that pain. You praise God. And like I said at the beginning, I love this story because it does have that fairy tale ending, that beautiful, happily ever after, possibly. See, as the story goes on, Rachel dies. They're traveling. And along the way, Rachel dies. She gives birth to her last son. I think it was Benjamin. And she named him Benani or something like that, which means son of sorrow. Rachel was in sorrow, was in grief. Because maybe she thought something different was going to happen in her relationship with Jacob. Maybe she was going to have more. I don't know. But it also took her life. She was in sorrow. Jacob renamed him to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. He says, nope, this isn't going to be sorrow. I'm going to utilize him. But she had died in childbirth. This whole competition thing, the thing she so wanted, took her life. And as they were going along the way, he buried her. Buried her in a place called Ephrath. And years later, Leah dies. And he buries Leah. Now, Jacob had a bunch of kids. One was Joseph, and there was a famine, and there's a whole story, a pretty good story. And the whole family of Jacob and all the sons and daughters and whatnot and the whole tribe, they go to Egypt. And in Egypt, Jacob gets old, and he's dying. And so he's going through, and he's blessing. He's saying things to his sons as he's about to breathe his last. And usually that's the end of it. He speaks his blessings, he speaks his words, and then he dies. But he did something a little different. His last words were just a little bit selfish. And he made a request to his son Joseph and to those that were listening. But it's a beautiful request. Genesis chapter 49, verses 29 to 31. Then Jacob instructed them, "Soon I will die, and I'll join my ancestors. Bury me with my father and my grandfather in the cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite." This is the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan that Abraham bought from Ephron the Hittite as a permanent burial site. There, Abraham and his wife Sarah are buried. There, Isaac and his wife Rebekah are buried. And there, I buried Leah. Bury me next to my wife, Leah, not Rachel. She's my wife. And then there's a period. I see a lot in that period. There's nothing else to tell me, but something happened. Something happened along the way where Jacob said, I think he said, "I messed up." And then he noticed this attitude of his wife, his dim-eyed wife, dull-eyed wife, that wherever she went, she praised God. And he thought, "I like that. I want to be around that." And maybe as he's lying on that bed where death is before him and he's thinking about what really matters in life, what was most important, that this wife of his, who was rejected by her father to some extent, rejected by Jacob outright, rejected by the people, everyone knew the joke that was Leah. And somehow Jacob thought, "Wow, and she still praised me? That's who I want to be around." How do you overcome rejection? You praise God. And if you reject it again, you praise God. And the lesson was learned possibly long after Leah had passed away. How do you overcome rejection? You praise. Change your words. Let them be weapons of power. This world right now, today, needs to hear praise. They need to hear an attitude in your heart. They need to see us a change. And no matter what we go through, we're going to praise God. And you can follow it up by a testimony of how you've been hurt in the past. We're going to praise God. Just popped in my head. Last time we had an outbreak, we had the swine flu. I actually got hit with it. Worst sore throat I ever had. I think my ears were bleeding. It was horrible. Out of it, I lost my voice. I had damage to my vocal cords. I had to go through surgeries and therapy and all these different things. And to this day, my voice is not what it used to be. It's a bit more rock star. But you know what I do? I praise God. I praise God. And I still use this voice that can sound kind of trashy at times, kind of rough, and certain notes that I can't quite hit, I still praise God with it. Because I still got it. It may not be perfect. It may be imperfect. It may be defective because of some virus. But I can still, with my heart, with my voice, praise God. I don't know what's on the other side of this, people. God does. Correction, I know what's on the other side of this. God. He's on that other side. And I don't know what's going to happen as we go through it. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Praise God. And if something is dragging you down, someone who has hurt you, someone who has deceived you, someone that has rejected you, choose to praise. That's the healing you need. Amen? Father, I love your stories because they're so good and they are so true. I thank you that your word is alive, Lord, that it can bring healing to our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you are with us and you are on the other side of this. Father, I pray that today that we go home and we crack open the Bible and we find a ton of verses that are all about praise. I'm pretty sure we're going to be stuck in the book of Psalms most of the day. Lord, that today we take those memories and those hurts and that rejection and we erase it from the journal of our life and we replace all that, Lord, with praise. That we choose to honor you. And Lord, when we have doubt in this life that we're in right now and we try to look through this week and next month, Lord, we give you praise because you're there. Father, you are worthy of our praise. You are so good. And I pray, Lord, everyone here can see that and know that. You love us. You love us so. So Father, we praise you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for my trashy voice. Lord, that anytime I get a cold, it always sounds worse than it actually is because my voice is broken. But Lord, it still works that I can say thank you. And Lord, maybe we feel broken in some areas, but we can still say thank you, God. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.